Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. Mark's today. It's nice to be in God's house with you. It's nice to have friends and family here for the baptism. It's also nice to have some friends of St. Mark's and visitors here. We're pleased that we are able to gather around Word and Sacrament with you today. Today, I want to focus with you on the love that Jesus would have us show towards our enemies. And we'll spend some time thinking about, well, who just might be our enemies, and then it's going to be kind of shocking who God calls us to love and just exactly who our enemies are. And maybe there's even a little bit of enemy inside each one of us too that God will help us address and overcome today. So I look forward with to studying God's love with you and along those lines and sharing God's love with you through his word today as well. The order of worship that we'll follow is printed in the worship booklet. It begins on page 3 with the gathering rite for the season of Lent, and then when we get to the bottom of page 3, we'll direct our attention to the red hymnal for the baptism this morning. Let us worship the Lord.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said,
"Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptisms, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we speak these words. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As baptized children of God, we confess our sin. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In obedience to the command of our Lord, and trusting in his promise, you have brought Abigail to be baptized. Jesus told us, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants the gift of new life, joy, and peace, even to little children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Abigail, receive the sign of the cross upon your head and upon your heart, to mark you as a redeemed child of God. Just hold the back of her head. Abigail Violet Sexton, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Please stand. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with Jesus will never walk in darkness." Light this candle again and again on the anniversary of this day to remember the great gifts that God has shared with Abigail and has shared with you through holy baptism. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents and sponsors and witnesses, to assist in whatever manner possible so that Abigail may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer, "Yes, as God gives me strength."
Yes, as God gives me strength.
To that end, let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptisms as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our lives. Look with special favor on Abigail and grant her a rich measure of your Spirit, that she may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you see that we have no power to defend ourselves. Guard and keep us both outwardly and inwardly from all the adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 26. Because the Lord loved his people, he pursued them, especially when they wandered away from him. Here we see the Savior's love for the lost. We see the prophet's love for his people. He was not afraid to share the word of God with them so that they would turn back to the Lord and enjoy a relationship with him. As soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate and deserted?" And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, "This man should be sentenced to death, because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears." Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on the city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day for today is Psalm 43. You'll find the refrain on page 6 in the worship book.
Against a godless nation, from from a deceitful and cunning people, rescue me, O God. Since you, O God, are my stronghold, why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? Let these be my guide. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. And I will come to your altar, O God, the God of my joy. My Redeemer, I will thank you on the harp, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God, whom again I praise, my Savior and my God.
Second lesson for this morning is from Philippians chapter 3. Here, St. Paul shares with us his love for the lost. May God so instill a love for the lost in our hearts, too. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon today. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13. As true man, as our brother, Jesus experiences what we experience. He experiences emotions. Here we see Jesus weeping over the fact that so many of his people have turned away from the Lord. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem,
You who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
This is the gospel of the Lord. Following the choir anthem, we'll join together to sing the hymn of the day, number 434. Please be seated.
Amen.
In the name of him who went to the cross for you, to open heaven for you, and make you citizens of his heaven, in the name of Jesus. It's going to start on kind of a negative tone this morning, but I want you to think about your enemy. And you can discuss it with somebody next to you if you want to, but who is this person or what is this thing? Why is this person your enemy? Why do you struggle against this thing? Just take a little bit, think about it, get a picture, and if you want to, you can tell somebody next to you. I'll pretend like I'm not looking. I would guess that some of you probably thought of some sort of military enemy. Maybe somebody who is bent on destroying you just because of the country that you live in, or maybe where you were born. And you would come up with a strategy for dealing with that enemy, maybe something similar to the strategy that Mr. Obama declared, don't let up and keep pounding them. I think that's how you deal with some of your enemies, military enemies. Or maybe you would be more the economic sanctions type of person, a more peaceful approach. Or maybe you would be the, hey, let's just pull out completely and let's let peace fill in the vacuum and see how that works. A lot of different strategies for dealing with military enemies of your nation. Some of you maybe thought of your neighbor. You know, the guy who blows his lawn clippings up into your landscaping. Or maybe plays his music too loud, too late. Or maybe some of you thought about somebody that you compete against, whether it's on the field or on the court. Maybe it's a football player, basketball player. Maybe it's somebody that you are debating, and it's more of an intellectual enemy that you have. And it's not just because you're competing, but it's because the person is nasty, and this person is mean, and this person cheats and doesn't play very fairly. And you're wondering, how can I do battle with this enemy? Maybe it's some competition at work. You're both vying for the same job. And again, it's not just that you're competing, but this person isn't nice. This isn't a good person to have that job. And you're wondering what's going to happen if this person gets the job. So how are you going to deal with these enemies? You can probably go talk to your neighbor and work out some sort of resolution. Maybe he doesn't even know that he's blowing grass into your yard. Maybe you can offer, how can I help you? Maybe you can compromise on the volume of the music, or maybe the kind of music that he's listening to. It just might work. Or maybe that person at work, you can say, hey, we're all on the same team here. We all want the best for the company. How can we get through this? But you know what? Sometimes there's just mean people in life, and that's not going to work. And that's just the way life goes. Sometimes you experience that in athletics too, and in intellectual competitions and in debate. Sometimes your enemies are just going to be your enemies. And this is such a huge topic for us to be talking about and thinking about today. So let's let St. Paul narrow it. He very much so narrows down what kind of enemies we're talking about. In Philippians 3 that I read earlier, Paul describes them like this. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And you probably know who some of those people are too, right? Very loud, very outspoken, very hell-bent on getting every name of Jesus and every religious symbol, not only out of our country, but out of the world if they had it their way. Others of them you hear about in the news. Thank God there's not a whole lot of them in our country, but they take up arms and they literally want to kill everybody who believes differently than they do. Especially if you believe in Jesus, especially if you hold to his cross and want to completely destroy you. Others, very well-meaning, very well-intentioned, even in the name of Jesus, go right up against the cross of Jesus. And it says, well, everybody who's good is going to go to heaven, right? Or Jesus is just one of many good ways on getting onto one of many good paths through life. And if you take that seriously, you're going to end up in a better place when it's all said and done. And by doing so, they go right up against the cross of Christ on which Jesus died and which guarantees heaven for us. The enemies that I want to focus on today and that St. Paul focuses on today are not mean, nasty people. They are not hell-bent on getting the name of Jesus out of this world. They don't hate you because you are a Christian. These are very decent, very good people, just trying to find their way through life. Maybe didn't have the same upbringing you did. Maybe nobody sang them, Jesus loves me, this I know, in Sunday school. Maybe the only time Jesus was mentioned at home was when somebody was upset and things weren't going right and they wanted to vent a little bit. These are people who do not know what you know. They all, however, as St. Paul says, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. So whether these are naughty people or nice people, whether they are aggressive people or they're sweet, docile people, they all have one thing in common. They do not have the cross of Jesus. And because they don't, St. Paul says their destiny is destruction. And that seems kind of heartless, doesn't it, that St. Paul would say something like that? That's a tough pill to swallow, that even really decent, really nice people are destined for destruction. And Paul doesn't bring it up because he's a mean person. He brings it up because it's the truth. And his heart goes out to people who didn't have the same trust and confidence in Jesus that he did. Their God is their stomach. When you take Jesus out, what do you have left? How can I get the most out of life? How can I make the most money? How can I be the most popular? How can I get what I want? How can I have fun? That's just what people go to when you don't have Jesus. Paul says their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. You know, you can almost see a couple of buddies and they're high-fiving each other because they talk about what they did and how good it felt. And yes, and it makes you feel really good. It makes you look like a really neat person. But St. Paul says their glory is in their shame. Because what they did certainly didn't bring glory to Jesus' name, and it was probably a very shameful thing. And it's not always bad, right? You work very hard, you get ahead, and you glory in that because that's a good thing. You raise your family, you raise your kids right, and they're successful. That's a good thing that makes you feel good. But St. Paul says you still haven't dealt with the fact that your destiny is destruction. He says their mind is on earthly things. It's not on heaven. It's not on Jesus. It's not on whether or not I glorified God today. It's how am I going to pay the bills today? How can I give my family a better life than I had? How can I try and get something better for them in the life after this one? But still, St. Paul says their destiny is destruction. These are nice, everyday,
ordinary people in your lives, in your neighborhoods, maybe even in your families, but their destiny is destruction. That's why it's so important for us to know who our enemies are and to know what the enemy is, especially the little enemy that lives in here. Because it's one thing to do an evaluation of everybody out there. It's another thing to do an evaluation of the little enemy that lives in here. St. Paul says their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. And if you or I were to do some sort of self-evaluation and a personal inventory, and we have these three categories, which one would you fill up fastest? Would it be your God is your stomach, your glory is in your shame, or your mind is on earthly things? And again, I don't want you to do this because I want you to feel badly today. It's important for us to do this because these things put us on that path to destruction. When our stomachs rumble and we fill them up with things that God says are not appropriate, and then maybe we even celebrate the fact, you know, look what I did, and you get the world to pat you on the back and your buddies to slap you five. Or when the last thing we think about is, did my decision honor God today? Are my kids growing up to know who Jesus is? Am I doing a good job? Or am I looking just like one of God's enemies, enemies of the cross of Christ? And the fact is, every time we do these things, we put ourselves on the path of destruction. And that's exactly where God would be very justified in sending all of us. Because of the little enemies that we are, the little enemies that we try to be, even the little enemies of God that we like to be. But St. Paul says, here is the reality. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of who Jesus is and what He has done for us, our destiny is not destruction. Because everything that you and I struggle with, in all the different ways that we fill up these little categories, Jesus never did that. He lived a perfect life for you. He lived a perfect life for me. And one day He's going to hold that perfect life up before God and say, you should let this person into heaven because I lived a perfect life for him. And then it's the season of Lent where we're following Jesus to the cross. And we see that that's where Jesus paid for every time you and I live like little enemies of God instead of the children of God that we are. And we see Jesus' love poured out for us as He suffered and died, as He experienced destruction for us. Our citizenship is in heaven because God destroyed His Son for you. And God destroyed His Son for me. The reality, Paul nails the reality, destiny should be destruction because of the times that our God is our stomach and our glory is in our shame and our minds are on earthly thing. But he tells us another truth. Our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So with all that in mind, how do we take our enemies seriously? The first encouragement St. Paul says is that we stand firm, not in ourselves, but that we stand firm in the Lord. Paul said, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. And don't think you can do that on your own. And God doesn't even ask you to do that on your own. He says, stand firm in me and stand firm in my promises to you. And did you catch his little reference to heaven there? Where our bodies, our lives, our minds are going to be transformed and we're going to be perfect people with a perfect God in heaven forever. And God doesn't say these things like he's holding out a doggy treat so that he gets you to live a certain way and he gets you to do little tricks and he just sits up in heaven and he's smiling and he's satisfied because look at what I got him to do today. He shares you this promise to strengthen you and to comfort you, to give you a reason to love your enemy and to pursue not what's rumbling in your stomach, not what's out there in the world, but what pleases and glorifies God. Until that transformation is complete and we are in heaven, God wants there to be a daily transformation. Now, he said to his people through Jeremiah, now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced on you. Confessing and trusting in Jesus. The love of Jesus calling us back to him. The love of Jesus bringing us back and putting us on the right path. That's how we stand firm in the Lord. The other way that we do well to strengthen ourselves, to do battle, to take our enemies seriously is by following the example of others. And St. Paul would probably be the last one that he would want us to follow, but he's probably the best example for us to follow. He was not afraid to call himself a sinner. He was not afraid to call himself the worst person who ever lived. But he was also the first person to run to the cross of Jesus. He was the first person to cherish the grace of Jesus, the first person to share the grace of Jesus. And so one way that we do battle with our enemies is by sharing the love of Jesus with them too. Not because you are better, not because you are superior, but because of, just like St. Paul, you have been loved by God first. St. Paul says, follow the example of others. And finally, he says, take your enemies seriously enough to love your enemy. St. Paul wrote, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame, their mind is on earthly things. And that brought St. Paul to tears. And when was the last time, I'm not saying this to shame you or to shame me, but when was the last time it brought you to tears that somebody is on a path to destruction? That somebody you know is not thinking about Jesus today? That somebody maybe even that you care about is on the path to destruction? And their stomach is rumbling for something, and they don't have it, and you don't give it to them. Jesus wept, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Those who make it easy for you to love them, those who make it hard for you to love them, those who don't even care if you love them or not, those are the people God calls us to reach out to seriously take our enemies seriously by seriously loving our enemies enough to share what has been shared with you. And what has been shared with me is to share Jesus. I pray that through our study of God's word today and his promises to you, that you are able to take Jesus' love for you seriously. He loves you. He lived for you. He died for you. And I also pray that it helps you see your enemies a little bit differently. Not as mean, horrible people, but people who need what God has shared with you. People who need Jesus. So that their stomachs can be filled. So that their lives can give glory to God too. And so that we can live as citizens in heaven together. To God alone be the glory for loving us first in Jesus. Amen. Please stand. On page 9 in the worship booklet, we have the opportunity to strengthen one another and to witness our faith together. We do so by saying the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated as at this time we worship our God with our offering. Let us pray for God's people here and for God's church throughout the world with the prayer of the church. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you created all things, both visible and invisible, by your mighty word. Help us understand that the whole world is in your hand, and that you have set your seal of ownership on us and put your spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We give thanks, O Father, that you have not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have called us to receive him in faith. May we open our hearts to this gracious indwelling. In him you have given us the ultimate example of love. May we walk in his steps. You have called us to worship him. May we give him our love, our praise, and our adoration. Grant that our homes may be dwellings of your Spirit. Make all who reside in them increase and abound in love toward one another. To all mothers, give the grace of spiritual wisdom. To all fathers, the gift of gentleness. To all children, the spirit of obedience. Grant us a rich measure of comfort and patience, especially those among us who are sick and who are dying. Counsel those who mourn. Give courage to those who fear. Warm their hearts and dry their tears with the firm assurance of your healing power and faithful love. O Lord, we ask that you have mercy upon all who are here in your house today. Forgive us our transgressions, support the weak, correct the disobedient, and against all evil and adversity that may vex our souls and bodies, grant us your aid. These things we ask in the name of your Son, who gave his life as a ransom for all. Amen. We are about to begin the Holy Communion portion of our service. Scripture teaches us that when we receive Holy Communion, we receive Jesus' true body and true blood, and that receiving the sacrament together is a public statement that we are completely united in everything that we believe and teach. For those reasons, we invite to Holy Communion this morning those who are members here at St. Mark's or who are members of our sister congregation in the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. If you have not yet had the opportunity to make such a public confession of faith through membership here at St. Mark's, but would like to commune here in the future, please speak with me or Pastor Stray. We'd be happy to further explain our communion practice and begin working toward that common confession of faith. Our order of service continues on page 10 with the preparations for the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O God Almighty, who through Jesus Christ, your eternal Word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin.
peace with God and your sins are forgiven.
Our worship continues on page 14 with the Song of Simeon. Please stand.
Lord, you left your servant, and now we part according to your word. For my heart.
O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness, you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Thank you again for making part of your Sunday morning some time in God's house. May he richly bless you through the Word of God that we've studied today. A special blessing and congratulations to the family of Abigail this morning. May Jesus bless you with the good news of baptism today and always. I have a couple of announcements to share with you. First, we have two Easter cards that have been prepared, and we're going to send them to some of the missionaries that we support. We would like as many people as possible to sign them. There are two of them. As soon as you go out the back door, right on what has been called the Visitor Center, there's two cards, one on the right, one on the left. Please take a moment and sign a greeting for our missionaries, and then the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society will send those out to arrive in time for Easter. Also, if you would like to, we are in need of donations for our food bank. So if you have something that you haven't used yet, you can bring that in. Just please check the expiration date to make sure that that food hasn't crossed that date yet. So you can bring in non-perishables. You can also bring in cash donations if you would prefer to do that. And finally, we are going to host both the Martin Luther College Choir as well as the California Lutheran Handbell Choir and Worship Band. There are some sign-up sheets in the sign-up sheet area.
So take a look at that. We need housing for these students. We need meals prepared for them. If you would like to help with that, please let me know or Pastor Stray know. We'll be sure to get you a job, and it'll be a good help, and we look forward to hearing those concerts.
Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out today, and I'll greet you one more time in the lobby.